the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show with Blake Matheson and Eric Updike, covering hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
Yeah, great outdoors.
We'll bring on guests occasionally.
We're ready to learn to get some knowledge.
You can find episodes every other Friday on RadioBaker.com underneath podcasts. The Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Check it out!
All right, it's episode, I'll let you, you knew it. I had to look it up. You already knew it. You tell us what episode
30.
It is. Yay, the big 3-0.
30-30
of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. We're sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company of Dickinson. You can check them out online at DakotaRifle.co. And you know what also passes by when I just looked up what episode number this was? You know what I realized we flew right past us?
What?
Our year mark. Our anniversary. I don't know. I was going to call it that, but that feels kind of weird. Is it our anniversary? Would it be our show's anniversary? Is that what you call that?
I would think so. It seems to me like you should have bought me a pizza.
Yeah, he's a... Well, Eric, if you don't know, he's working for free on this show. So if you've ever wondered what we do to keep him around, you know, it's a lot of smiles, a lot of good times, and we just hope he keeps coming out. So yeah, should have got you a pizza or like a cake or something. It passed on May 3rd was our, so that would have been two episodes ago, would have technically been our anniversary episode. That would have been when Henry was here, I suppose.
That would have been about that time.
Yeah.
I'll let you make it up to me. Okay. I'm not going to be all whiny like your wife would be if you missed the anniversary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah,
lean way here.
You know, I was about to say, you know what my wife would be like if that actually happened, but I'm not going to go down that road tonight. That's probably not wise of me. I wasn't going to say anything bad about her, but I'm just not going to go down that path.
Yeah.
But yeah, so episode 30, we've been doing this for a year. And this is our first episode of June, which feels kind of weird. We haven't done an episode since the end of May, just the way this works out, since we do it once every 2 weeks. We've made it darn near, it feels almost all the way through June without doing an episode. That kind of feels like almost like we skipped one in there.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know about you, but it feels like the last couple weeks since our last episode been kind of a blur for me between trying to get this trolling motor running on my boat. I've got it mounted and everything. We'll get to that here in a moment, I imagine. But between installing that motor and, I don't know, work's been kind of, I don't know if I want to say busy, but long story short, I just feel like it's been a crazy couple weeks. I haven't been outside much, and I feel like I'm starting to feel those effects. Like, you know, when you haven't been outside in a while, going and doing fun stuff, you kind of starts to wear on you a little bit.
It does. You start having withdrawals.
Yep, and so I guess let's just start at the root of this problem. I think that it started back last weekend. We should have been paddle fishing, but I hosed us on that plan.
Yeah, you did.
That was my fault. And it's all goes back. This is going to be one of my main points of this big episode 30. And it's being properly prepared with the right gear, because we've talked about paddle fishing gear before. That was our first episode going back to May 3rd of last year, our first ever episode talking about the right gear. That was our first time ever paddle fishing. The reel that I bought at the time, we talked about this a couple episodes back. It was a Zebco. And I went back and looked. You asked me in that episode if it had a size. Yes, it did. It was a size 80 Zebco Verge reel that lasted my first season, but then broke this season, which started off a chain of events which hosed our weekend last weekend. I've gone through three reels at this point trying to paddle fish. And that just brings me to my point is make sure you get the right gear, because I kept trying to eke by with like undersized reels, like size 4000s and smaller, and the cheapos that were just available, and it ended up ruining our plans.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
That last one I got was a size 4000 Sportsman's Warehouse brand reel. The handle snapped the first cast with my paddlefish rig the weekend I tried to go with just myself without you that first time, or my second time. And yeah, snapped that third reel on the first cast, ruined that day. And then I tried to order one online. I went to a saltwater reel after that. You got to have a size 6000. If it's a reel that's sized like 1000, 2000 and such, like that kind of size category, you got to go for a 6000, in my opinion, is the bare minimum.
Yeah, I guess I got an 8000, but
and that's better. I think that's even slightly mm-hmm. better. And so 6000 or 8000 is where you're looking if you're getting a paddlefish reel that is going to last you.
Yep.
It's not just a cheap jobby for a season, because now I'm at the point where I'm trying to go multiple seasons with a reel, and you got to get something sturdy. So yeah, I got a size 6000. I'll shout them out. I got a pen, because that's just what you see in all these saltwater YouTuber guys' videos.
You got a pen because I got one.
Oh, you know, I couldn't just tell you that directly.
Yeah.
So we both have pens now. So
glad I'm your hero.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the inspiration. So yeah, so got that coming. So I didn't have a reel this last weekend, which is why we didn't go out together when we were planning to. I just wasn't going to go out without the gear. I mean, I guess I could have gone and watched you and gone catfishing, but just wasn't interested. If I had filled my tag, would have been a different story. Would have been game. But with a non-filled tag, I just can't sit and watch it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I was busy getting the dirt bikes ready and doing all that type of fun outdoor stuff. So technically, I was outdoors.
Technically, you have been doing some fun outdoors.
But stuff. I haven't been hunting, fishing, just cruising around on the old dirt bike.
I think that counts. Like, if we had like a nice enduro track around, I think that would be a worthy like full episode.
There is a fairly decent track right out there by the gun range.
I was wondering where you were out there riding. Oh, you're talking about where they do the bump and run.
Yeah, on the side of that, there's actually an actual MX track. I've rode on it, I think, once, but no, that's not where I was going.
How does that work? Because, like, to park at that thing, you have to get in past the gun range gates, right?
Yeah, you got to get a membership. I can't go out there. I'd break a hip.
Try to go too hard.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, so at least you've been doing something outdoors. Closest I've been is just struggling with that trolling motor, which probably shouldn't be as big of a struggle as it is, but I just wasn't prepared with all the electrical work I was going to have to do. I got it mounted fine, but we're going on 3 weeks of work now where I'm currently waiting on some big enough ring terminals to show up. So right now I got to take the wiring. So the trolling motor just comes with the power cords to ring terminals on them already, and that's just it. But I'm trying to go from the trolling motor to a plug, and then from that plug to a 24-volt lithium battery, and there's got to be a circuit breaker in between there as well. So just kind of piecing all that together and replacing the 12-volt system that was on that super old, well, not super old, she's like a 93, my boat already, it's been a process. And as a guy that's not well-versed in electrician work, it's challenged me.
Should have called, I'd have helped you.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, and I appreciate that, and I think that I understand that, but it's not been a matter of, I guess, maybe I'm downplaying myself a little bit, it's not been a matter of not knowing what to do, it's pretty much been a matter of either buying the wrong stuff or just not having the right materials to do the job available off the bat, so it's been a lot of just waiting on stuff to get shipped in.
I hear you.
And it goes back to just, I'm so gun-shy after the real story and how I say you got to make sure you get the right gear if you want it to last. I want to make sure I got the right stuff and not just slap things that I hope will work together. So,
yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, hopefully I'll get this trolling motor going, and I'm stoked to finally have spot lock once. The day, if that knock on wood, if that ever actually works, I know I already said it before, but yep, still waiting on the day. Last episode, I was saying I was excited for that. Still am excited for that, but that's where I'm at in my outdoor stuff. But the paddlefish count as of this morning, we're recording this kind of late Thursday night before this episode comes out on Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
So the paddlefish count as of today is 719 fish when I last looked at it. So they say that the season is going to go through its entirety. This Saturday the 14th will be the last harvest day. And technically, the season comes to a close Sunday the 15th, but the last harvest day is this Saturday. So I think I got to go out there. You'll be at work, darn it. But
yeah, you better try it one more time.
Yeah, got to go try that new reel and maybe put the tag on a fish, and who knows? We'll see. Maybe I've got my chest freezer going out all of a sudden, so ooh. I don't know about putting another paddlefish head in my chest freezer for a while, but yeah, we'll see what happens, I guess. You just got to catch one before you can start making plans for
it. Yeah, that's for sure.
But you know what else is coming up this weekend? Big weekend. Flag Day the 14th, and then what happens after that?
I don't know. You got me.
Dang, you don't even...
Father's Day.
Hey! I was like, man, you're a father a couple times over, and not even snapping. But yeah, see,
gotcha.
That's the way it is. I mean, we're not like them. Like, if you were a mother, you probably would have said it right away.
Yeah.
What is the, you get a lot of outdoor stuff for Father's Day, do you? You've been a father a lot longer than me.
Do I get a lot of outdoor gifts? Is that what you're saying? Or
yeah, you a gift in household? You don't gift stuff? You're not expecting things? Or
You know, candy or something like that. Something small. We don't make a big deal out of it.
I appreciate that. I hope I don't get anything this year. I've told Andre I don't want anything because I just got that trolling motor, and I feel like that should constitute as like a Father's Day / birthday / maybe even Christmas present. That was an expensive Sun gun.
Yeah. But you know the thing I always laugh about with Father's Day, and I always laugh, is on Mother's Day, you're expected to take them out for dinner and the whole wine and dine them, the whole bit. Father's Day, you're expected to barbecue for everybody. How does that work?
Man, I haven't been informed that's the plan yet.
That's how it works. Geez, you'll learn.
Yeah, this will be my first one rolling around. Yeah. So hopefully it's not a big deal. It's kind of like my birthday. I don't want it to be a big deal. I feel like after the 21st birthday, I was good. I'm good on birthdays. If we don't even mention it,
they go downhill after that.
Yeah, for sure. But you know what? In the spirit of Father's Day, why don't you tell me? I'd like to hear, just off the top of your noggin, because I didn't prepare you for this or anything. Just off the top of your noggin, give me like just a fun tell of either taking your own kids out or one of your favorite memories of your own dad taking you outdoors. Just give me a fun story off the top of your noggin.
Oh, boy, there's a bunch of them. But one story that definitely sticks into my mind is when I was a kid, I went fishing with my dad, and we were out there out Camel Sump there in Beach, and we just were catching the trout like nobody's business. I mean, it was something else, just unreal. And we had a whole stringer, a trout, and he had this on the stringer on his little fishing boat there, and the stringer's a little too long. They all got caught in the motor.
Oh, no. So they just like disappear all of a sudden, or did he watch it happen?
Yeah, he kind of, you could hear it. Thump, thump, thump.
Oh, man. So was he pretty upset?
Yeah, so we were picking up pieces and salvaged what we could.
So they even blended the fish?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones.
That's pretty good. Did that end your day?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that kind of just the first thing that pops into my mind about my dad. One time we were, he had just got in. I don't know why, for a short period of time, he was super into being part of the, what was it at that time? It had to have been the North American, it's like the North American Fishing Club or the North American Bass Club. I don't know, one of those deals where they try to get you for the membership and then they send you stuff in the mail, you know? And he was so into it that he'd been getting lures and stuff, and he got deep enough in that they sent him an entire rod that had his name on it. It was like a custom rod. I don't think it was anything super, super high-end, but it said Mark Matheson, my dad's name on the side of that thing, and his first time taking it out. We took it to this lake in northern New Mexico there, central New Mexico, and we were trolling along, and he turned to help my little brother get untangled, and when he turned around, he had his rod sitting on the edge of my boat right there, the boat that I have now, and he hit it with his elbow, and it went bloop right into the lake, and it turned butt up, and then just sunk, and he tried to reach in, and I remember him reaching up to his shoulder, and his finger tips like barely grabbed the end of the rod, and I don't even think he ended up catching a fish on it that day. He only got to fish with it for like, I don't know, maybe a couple hours at most before he lost his custom rod. So I feel that. Oh man,
surprised he didn't send you in there for it.
No, luckily. But yeah, that's some unfortunate boat stories there for Father's Day. And you know, poor guy, he's also had to deal with both me and my next youngest brother Wyatt have been caught with lures on fishing trips that he's been involved in, so he's had to deal with a couple of us getting caught. One time my dad caught a really nice trout in a little stream we were fishing. I was standing behind him, and the trout got off as he was pulling it up on the bank, and it was like slithering is the right word, but like flat, like kind of skittering across the rocks to get back to the water after it came off his hook, and it had like a couple feet to go. So he threw his rod behind him where I was standing while he went to go after the fish before it could get back in the water so he could pick it up and check out this big trout. And he didn't notice when he threw the rod behind him, his spinner, his Panther Martin, swung around and it caught me in the right in between my shoulder blades. It got stuck. Luckily, that one came out easy. But then we were floating the Green River once, and my little brother Wyatt got caught in between his shoulder blades too with a spinner. Don't remember who was casting that one. I don't think it was me, but he got caught on the back cast, and they actually had to go to the old emergency room, but like the fast care to help him out with that one and get that one out.
So he knows how it feels to be a paddlefish.
Wyatt, poor guy's been there before. But those are just some kind of unfortunate stories, I guess. But you know, just to get in like the softer stories there, so it's all dunking on the dads. But you know, I always remember stuff like, I remember the first time my dad ever took me out and let me shoot his .22 pistol for the first time, and I thought it was such like a huge pistol with like big old kick, you know, and it was such like a big thing, and that's, I don't know why that always sticks out in my head. But you know, thanks to my dad for I never would have been as much into the outdoors, obviously, as I am if it wasn't for him. So shout out, Dad.
Was that last year that he took you out and let you shoot that .22?
Yeah. And then I finally got my hunter safety.
Yeah.
finally got over the recoil. So I think I might be able to move up to shoot. Might be able to shoot a 9mm and maybe get out to the gun range to their competitions this year.
Oh boy. Old Carl, he's still been dinging on me every time I see him come out and shoot.
Oh, sheesh, yeah. That's a tough one. I don't even go out and shoot the trap, which we should. But you've been shooting trap recently. It sounds like, I don't know, I think you're telling me stories. Folks, it sounds like old Eric here is the darn trap expert at the moment. Winning tournaments, shall we call it?
No, it wasn't a tournament. It was a group exercise for training. This is a
team building event we're talking about? I thought this was like a big old company-wide shoot down.
No, it was just training, and that was their coming together party, I guess you'd say.
I'm not gonna dung on you all the way. You said you were shooting 23 out of 25 targets. That's good. That's good for trap. I respect that. Shooting over a 20 on 25 targets of trapping around. That's well done, man.
Especially when you're using somebody else's
gun. I was just
gonna
say, you told me it was a gun you're unfamiliar with. Absolutely. That's not too bad. What were the so they had shells and everything for you?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
And let me tell you, their trap club up there is not anywhere close to as nice as the one we got here. You know, gotta hand it to the guys at the Baker Trap Club. They have a nice facility.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not really that they have a nice facility. Yes, their facility is very nice. I'm just surprised that it was such a difference.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't nice like ours at all.
Dang.
Basically, like out in like a scoria pit, basically, is what it felt like.
Geez. So, yeah, be thankful for what you got here in Fallon County.
Yeah.
And, go take advantage of some trap shooting.
Yeah, for sure.
And, I haven't done that lately. So, but I got it. Yeah. Get back in the swing of things here soon, I hope. Get that trolling motor all set and running, hopefully, this week, and we'll be ready to go. But
hopefully next. They've been shooting trap on Thursday evening, so maybe next Thursday, a week from today, maybe we'll sneak out there.
Yes, perhaps. I gotta check my calendar. We'll see.
I'm with you.
I almost forgot. We have a brought a guest on this episode. We got the old vice president of the Great Plains Pheasants Forever chapter in studio with us.
Yeah, we're getting started. You want me to reintroduce myself?
Yeah, absolutely. Introduce him for us.
Yeah, no. You're hilarious this evening. Just getting it started, but if anybody has any interest, feel free to reach out. We're getting Pheasants Forever chapter started here in Baker, and you have any interest, feel free to reach out to us.
Yep, got Eric Updike as the vice president. Henry Hastig, who you heard talking about the potential of getting this going a few episodes back. He's the presidente, and that's the name of it.
Yep.
Eric, that name, he won't tell you. But Eric named that. That name came straight from the old fingertips and brain of old Eric Updike, the Great Plains Pheasants Forever chapter.
Yep, so. Right from the heart.
So, yeah, check it out. Going to be having an actual meeting soon, from what it sounds like, trying to get some projects figured out, and then you'll be looking at some fun events I'm gonna say we'll put together. Huh?
Yeah, you're in on this, bud. You're in like Flynn.
So be talking about some events. So if you're interested in the preservation of some upland birds, some game bird conservation, and habitat improvement, that's probably your group of folks to get in with.
It is, and even if you're not a big pheasant hunter, the thing about it is, if you're building habitat and improving it for pheasants, it's going to help the deer and everything else too.
Yep, absolutely. It's not just one thing that gets helped by those habitat improvements, which help pheasants out. So yeah, I think it'll be a good thing to look forward to in the future, and at least get some folks together, because I have not talked to a single pheasant hunter on a friendly level other than you since I've moved here. So it's always nice to kind of realize that there's other people, they're actual human out on the other side of those trucks you see also driving around in blaze orange out there. Sometimes I feel like, maybe it's just me, but sometimes I feel like it's easy to get that real competitive spirit and be like, those other dang guys out there, you know. But it's nice to just like bring the humanity and kind of that friendship and kind of brothership together in a chapter like that. I think is kind of, in my opinion, one of the underlooked positives of having a chapter like that locally and a bunch of guys involved.
Yeah, absolutely. You got a good point there.
So, so look forward to that. Look up the Great Plains Pheasants Forever chapter. They'll be having a Facebook page here soon, I'm sure, and then having an official meeting. Now they've had kind of a name gathering deal and gotten some officers out of the way here. It should be rolling right along.
Should be.
And if you get out for paddle fishing this weekend for the last weekend, I wish you luck. I know the weather might not be the best. Boy, you had to deal with some nasty weather doing baseball tonight. That's where we were recording this when we did. Boy, making those kids play out in that, what do you call it, sleet, you'd call that tonight?
Yeah, not really sleet, more so drizzle.
It's just that constant, like, misty wetness. It's the kind of rain, like, there's... I think that's the type of rain that would end a fishing day for me. Like, unless the fishing was stellar or I was on a trip that I had gone a really long ways and paid a lot of money for, I probably wouldn't have been fishing in it. So I feel for kids that were playing baseball.
Yeah, troopers.
Yeah. What is it? That's what, you know what? Let's end this episode on that. That's my last question for you for this episode. Maybe we'll do some different scenarios here, but let's say for fishing, what is like the worst weather you'll put up with for fishing?
I really don't like fishing in the wind. That's my big cutoff. If it's windy, I'm done.
Yeah, the wind sucks. The only time I'll do wind, the windiest day I ever went was an ice fishing trip where it was the only day a bunch of us could get together and go at once. We had a big ice fishing hut, which helped a lot, but it was blowing snow and winding so bad that a guy could walk about 100 yards away from you and you'd lose sight of him. That was definitely the worst weather I've been in. But if I hadn't been in a hut, I would not have been out that day. But yeah, super like that, just constant, just thick, just misty rain or super wind. Yeah, I'm also out. Whether it's hunting or fishing, I think I'm good on that.
Yeah, if it's windy, I don't go hunting either. Drizzling and stuff like that, that don't bother me for hunting. I'm not going to go fishing in it, though.
Oh, man. And just the wetness. I was on my second or third grouse hunt ever down in Colorado, back down where you got just like a weekend to hunt sage grouse down there. It's not a whole, you don't have a whole couple months to do it or a whole month. It's just a couple, like a weekend at most. So one weekend I was down there with a couple guys. They're like, we got one weekend to do this. We got to get it done. And it started pouring one of those days. And those dudes were like, yeah, we're going out in the pouring rain after grouse. I was too much of a sissy. It's pouring rain. No grouse is worth that, my friend.
No, it's not.
And we were camping. And it's like, I'm just not trying to have super wet boots, socks, and clothes, and then go sleep in a tent. Just sorry.
No, don't sound appealing to me.
I'll wear that pansy badge every day.
Yeah, you wear it well.
Thank you. So yeah, we'll see how the paddle fishing goes this weekend, and hopefully have a trolling motor to get you out on. Sorry. Last thing, just that's on my mind with the outdoors, and it's not a point, maybe it is, but I've seen a couple walleye dead on the shore of Baker Lake recently. It's only been two, so it's nothing that has my like red flags waving yet. Like, I'm not worried that it's like a water quality concern and like a fish kill, because then I'd be seeing dead crappie and perch as well. But just kind of weird to me to go from not really ever seeing any dead walleye on the shores of Baker Lake to now suddenly I've seen two in a week. And one of them was a substantially sized walleye, which was super sad to see. So it was proof that there's very nice walleye in Baker Lake still at the moment, over 20 inches easily. But don't know what killed them. I don't know if that was an instance of maybe being caught and being deep hooked and somebody tried to let them go and they just didn't quite make it or what. But just an interesting happenstance over the last week.
Yeah, it could be. Or is it a matter of they caught those walleye, came and fish, maybe they restocked them, brought some bigger fish in. You know, sometimes you see that when they restock a lake, you know, the fish don't adapt, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Die off.
But I will say, I guess the big one, like if I had to get my detective hat on, the weird thing about the big one was he did have a kind of messed up side of his face. So I guess that's what makes me lean towards maybe a hook related incident, right? But I obviously didn't do an autopsy on the guy, so I'm not 100% sure, but just an interesting deal to have the old eyeballs on. But at the very, very least, it was nice to just get confirmation of some large walleye still, maybe existing.
Yeah, it might have been the last two, though.
Dang. But I was hoping when I saw that bigger one, the reason I stopped and investigated, I was hoping it was proof that a trout had been put in there. Because still, we've talked to this was a few episodes back, but it's still, to me, just a rumor.
It's got to be.
I have yet to see physical proof of a trout in Baker Lake at the moment, but maybe we'll have that mystery solved by our next episode.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think that's all I've got for this one. Just kind of catching the tail end of paddle fishing here, trying to get this trolling motor installed so we can get you some really good fishing tails. And happy Father's Day to you out there. I hope you have a great Father's Day this coming weekend. If you're around your dad, have some spare time, maybe get him outdoors.
Yeah.
Do some fun stuff. And it doesn't have to be hunting or fishing. Even if it's going to ride some dirt bikes.
There you go.
Enjoy the heck out of that, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, go and do it. And thanks to Dakota Rifle Company of Dickinson for sponsoring us. They're open Monday to Friday, 10 to 6 p.m. and open Saturdays, 8 to 12. If you want to catch them online, you go to DakotaRifle.co. We sure appreciate their sponsorship. And this has been episode 30, the Dirty 30 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Blake Matheson, along with your other host,
Eric Updike.
And we'll catch you in a couple weeks on the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.